Radio Prague News.
An Iraqi delegation, including Iraq's acting defense minister, has met with Czech officials in Prague. A district court in Prague has handed a doctor an 8-month suspended sentence for mistakes in the delivery room that left a newborn paralyzed. Petra Kvitova has reached the Australian Open quarterfinals. Members of the government, including Prime Minister Petr Nečas and Defense Minister Alexander Vondra, have met in Prague with an Iraqi delegation, including Iraq's acting Minister of Defense Sadun al-Dulaimi. On Monday, they discussed the possible purchase of Czech-made L-159 fighter jets to Iraq, but said no final deal had been reached yet. Negotiations are to continue. The Iraqi minister confirmed his country's continuing interest, while Mr. Vondra said he was optimistic. Mr. al-Dulaimi also confirmed that Iraq was not only interested in older existing planes but from Aero Vodochody, but also in commissioning new aircraft. Iraq is reportedly seeking to acquire around 20 planes for its military. The District Court for Prague 10 handed a doctor at Prague's Royal Vinohrady Teaching Hospital an 8-month, 2-year suspended sentence and a 2-year ban on working in the fields of obstetrics and gynecology. The ruling was in response to mistakes made during the birth of a baby in 2009, which left the newborn paralyzed. The court said the doctor was present without proper attestation at what had been a complicated birth, stressing that he should have called in a colleague who had the required experience. According to commercial broadcaster TV Prima, the baby suffered brain damage as a result of the mistakes. The ruling has been appealed by the defendant. University representatives have expressed surprise over the tone and reaction of Education Minister Josef Dobesch, who called in Charles University head Václav Hampel on Monday to explain last week's protest against the government's planned reforms to the higher education system. According to news website IDNES, Mr. Hampel was criticized by the minister for allegedly encouraging the protest last week. That has drawn a sharp response from the Czech Rectors' Conference, who defended Mr. Hampel and called the education minister's move inappropriate. Last Thursday, several hundred students and professors slammed the planned reforms in front of the seat of the government and held a protest happening at the Faculty of Law building. Demonstrators expressed opposition to plans they fear will limit academic freedoms and make it, for example, more difficult for students to pay off student loans. Petra Kvitova in tennis remains in contention for the Australian Open title and world number one ranking, this after beating Anna Ivanovic to reach the quarterfinals. The Czech second seed, who has a chance to replace Caroline Wozniacki at the top of the rankings, won by a score of 6-2, 7-6 at Melbourne Park. Kvitova will next play China's Zheng Ji or Sarah Errani of Italy. I'm Jan Wellinger, and that's all the news for now.
You're listening to Radio Prague, the international service of Czech radio, with me, Peter Smith. Coming up in today's show, a heart for Havel, a unique memorial for the late Czech president Václav Havel, is being moulded out of wax, but in the thousands of candles. We go along to see the artists in action. And in the sport, the Czech tennis player Tomáš Berdych is not a popular man down under. That and more from the Australian Open coming up. And in this week's one-on-one, we speak to Oldrich Cherney, the head of the Forum 2000 Foundation that every year attracts world leaders and thinkers to Prague. So in light of the death of the co-founder, Václav Havel, we ask the question, can such a popular initiative continue?
Some sponsors, when it comes to nitty-gritty, can be very, very pragmatic. But we don't know unless we try, and I think that we must try.
I feel like breaking into song. There'll be that and more here on Radio Prague. Please don't go away. After the death of the late Czech president Václav Havel, thousands of people laid down wreaths and lit candles at impromptu memorial sites across the country. Now, two artists have decided to recycle those candles for an unusual memorial, a wax heart. Dozens of volunteers are currently working on the A Heart for Havel initiative at Prague's Cultural Centre. Sarah Borufka went along.
Dozens of volunteers were hammering away in the warehouse of Prague's Trafalska Cultural Center this Saturday, prying the plastic shell from the thousands of votive candles that were lit in honor of late President Václav Havel all over the country. 4 to 5 tons of these candles will be melted into a giant heart sculpture, a project titled A Heart for Havel. The artist Lukáš Gavlovský and his friend Roman Šveda are behind the unusual memorial. Gavlovský says the idea first occurred to him in the week after Mr. Havel's death.
The idea was spontaneous. Before Christmas, I saw all the candles that were brought to Wenceslas Square for Mr. Havel. The sea of candles there kept growing and growing. I realized that after the first wave of euphoria, they would surely be thrown away. Then I had the idea that the wax from those candles is a great material, a material that can easily be transformed.
The heart shape was an obvious choice, says Gavlovský. The late president often added a heart to his signature. Initially, Gavlovský and Šveda were only hoping to collect the candles from Prague's Wenceslas Square, where the country's biggest impromptu memorial site for the beloved leader of the Velvet Revolution kept growing in the days and weeks after his death. But the idea found enthusiastic support from other cities, and bags of candles from across the country are still being delivered to Trafalska. Here, helpers of all ages have come together to isolate the wax from the candle's plastic or aluminum shells, a time-consuming job.
I really like the idea. That's why I came out. I heard about it on TV. I think it's a fantastic thought to make a heart for Mr. Havel from this wax. I think he would have liked the project. It's great.
We came because Václav Havel did a lot for us, and if he hadn't lived, then we would still be living under communism. So it is thanks to him that we can live the way we're living now.
I heard about this on the radio, thought the idea was great, and decided to help. I brought my own hammer and came here to work on this.
Box after box of wax chunks are placed into a 2.4 by 2.4 meter heart-shaped mold. Lukáš Gavlovský then melts the wax. The individual elements of the sculpture, which will be about 2 meters high, will be assembled on site at a square next to the National Theater, where the big wax heart will be installed from February 9th to April 10th. The memorial will have an opening through which passers-by can enter it. This element is very important, says Gavlovský.
We can enter it, spend some time in it, and leave again. The open shape of the heart is supposed to reflect my own feelings after the death of Mr. Havel. I also felt that my heart was opening up, that I was again living through the feelings I had during the time of the Velvet Revolution.
What will happen with the sculpture after April, when temperatures rise and the giant heart could melt, is unclear. Gavlovský says that first and foremost, the project is a small and spontaneous gesture to honor the late president.
Sarah Borůvka with that report on the initiative of A Heart for Havel. You're tuned to Radio Prague. It's time now for the sport. And starting where else but with an extraordinary set of events in the men's fourth round of the Australian Open, where the Czech seventh seed Tomáš Berdych was booed off the Hisense Arena after an ill-tempered fourth round victory over Nicolas Almagro. The booing started after Berdych refused to shake hands with the Spaniard after winning the match 4-6, 7-6, 7-6, 7-6 to set up a quarter-final showdown with Rafael Nadal. He declined because he felt that the 10th seed, Almagro, had deliberately blasted a return at his head during the fourth set. Well, here's a bit of the rally, followed by the commentator's opinion on the incident, then Berdych's rather futile attempt at a post-match interview.
It's all fair.
Yeah, it was the right shot.
Went ballistic towards Burdich at the end of the game with the Czech refusing to shake Almagro's hand.
I think when you have a point and somebody wants to hit you straight to your face, I don't see this as a nice...
So, no disguising the feelings of the crowd there. But what of Almagro? In his post-match press conference, the Spaniard made it clear that he was only acting within the rules.
Did you try to hit him with the ball?
I tried to win the point.
He replied, yeah.
I tried to win the point.
Do you feel you have anything to apologise?
Me?
Yes.
Why?
I'm just putting it to you because he was cross.
As to him?
Did you say anything to Thomas afterwards?
Me? Yes. Sorry. After the point, I won the point. I said sorry to him 3 or 4 times. And after that, you can ask to him, not to me.
Well, Burdick seems to have backtracked a bit, saying that after the game, both players have made mistakes and that the incident was already in the past. Well, Burdick goes on to play Almagro's compatriot Rafael Nadal in the last 8 on Tuesday, knowing that he'll do well to reverse a trend of 9 successive defeats against the Spaniard. He's shown he's a great tennis player, said Burdick. He deserves to be in the position he's in, maybe even higher. So for me, it's going to be extremely tough. In the women's fourth round, the Czech number one, Petra Kvitová, remains in contention for the WTA top spot after defeating everyone's favourite Serb, Ana Ivanovic, 6-2, 7-6. As the Wimbledon champion acknowledged after the match, the decisive second set was extremely difficult.
I'm really happy that I won the second set because in the end it was very tough to come back and lucky that I'm not played the third set. You know, the serving in the 5-4 in the second set, you have to do it. And unfortunately, I lost the game by 40 love. So what was really easy for Anna to play like this. And then, you know, it was really tough to get back and be focused on every point when I sat on the chair and 6-5 in my serve. So it was really tough to get back, but fortunately, I did it.
Well, Kvitová now faces the unseeded Sara Errani of Italy for a place in the last 4. The other Czech in the fourth round, Iveta Benešová, was soundly beaten by the third seed from Belarus, Victoria Azarenka. And that's the sport. There'll be more from the Australian Open this week, so good luck to the Czech players in the quarterfinals there. You're tuned to Radio Prague, and now we're going to speak to Oldřich Černý, the head of the Forum 2000 Foundation. It was established by a friend of his, Václav Havel. Following the former president's death in December, will the organisation be able to keep going? That's just one of the questions that Ian Willoughby discusses with Mr. Černý in this week's One-on-One.
Oldřich Černý is executive director of the Forum 2000 Foundation, which every year invites some of the world's leading thinkers to a conference in Prague. Forum 2000 was co-founded by Václav Havel, with whom Mr. Černý was closely involved for many years. Indeed, he organized what was to be the former president's final public appearance, a meeting with the Dalai Lama a week before his death last month. We discussed his cooperation with Mr. Havel when I met Oldřich Černý at his office in Hradčany. But our conversation first touched on his job before the Velvet Revolution, translating American and British films. So what kind of Western movies were being shown in Czechoslovakia in the 1980s?
Well, there are no political movies, no, as you can imagine, no movies critical of anything but capitalism. And light comedies. And of course, towards the end of the 80s, I mean, these movies always came with 1 or 2 or 3 years delay, but we got our portion of Spielberg's and Lucas's and so on.
So E.T., for instance, would have been here in the 80s?
I did subtitles for the 80s, yes.
Well, the 80s, of course, culminated with the Velvet Revolution here in what was then Czechoslovakia. What are your strongest memories of that time?
It is difficult to single out one strongest memory because there were so many of them, you know. So it was a very moving time. I mean, people cried a lot. I was working in the coordination center of the Civic Forum, running various errands for Václav Havel and other people, because I was the one who spoke English. Not many revolutionaries spoke English in those days. That has changed. There are no revolutionaries, and everybody speaks English these days.
You became Václav Havel's national security advisor. Was that an area that you, security, that you had taken an interest in prior to the revolution?
National security advisor, meaning me, Oldřich Černý, as the national security advisor, was too lofty an unreal title, because I was no Condoleezza Rice or anyone like that. More or less a messenger, you know. So I was Václav Havel's links between the president's office, between the presidency and the military and intelligence community, law enforcement. That was it. You know, I kept him aware on what was happening.
Was that for you a steep learning curve working at the castle in those days?
Boy, I had to learn very, very fast. I had to learn very fast because until then I had absolutely no... If you exclude the bad ones, you know, so we had with the Communist Secret Police, with STB, I had absolutely no experience with security. None of us had an experience with security from the other side of the crosshair. We all have to learn very fast, you know, so in whatever field we are responsible for. But I think in my case it was even faster because I couldn't afford too many mistakes. I came late to the castle and I nobody wanted to do security. So that's how I landed with this job. So just by pure chance, by pure accident.
Well, you went from there to a very much hands-on job, I guess, as Director General of the Czech Foreign Intelligence Service. What exactly was that agency doing?
Well, according to the law, which wasn't adopted when I was there, when I started there, it was adopted only 2 or 3 years later under pressure. This agency is supposed to collect and disseminate information vital for the economic security and foreign political interests of the Czech Republic. That's it. That's the only sentence allotted to the activities of this service. And I think the lawmakers did know what they were doing when they didn't go too far into greater detail.
But you were there for 5 years. What actually was the agency doing?
Well, when I came there, it was doing nothing at all. It was hanging in the void. The division of the state was the biggest task of those days, and it was nearly completed. And when I came to the service, even though my subordinates tried to make it otherwise, didn't take me very long to find out that the agency is producing some sort of reporting, but nobody's interested in it. And when I asked them who was the recipient of the reports, you know, before I came to the service, they said, you at the castle was the only one who took interest in what we produced and from time to time presented to the president. So by coming to the service, I deprived the service of the sole recipient of its reporting.
So was it a frustrating job then, if you felt like you weren't achieving anything?
Well, if you are a director of the Foreign Intelligence Service, and you have absolutely no working ties, no ties whatsoever, even negative ties with the Minister of Foreign Affairs, you just can't do this job. So one of my first meetings was with the then Czech Minister of Foreign Affairs, and I told him that I couldn't do the job unless we started to cooperate.
Now you are the head of the Prague Security Studies Institute, and you're the executive director of the Forum 2000 Foundation. For our listeners who don't know it, what is Forum, and how has it developed over the years?
Well, I should say that the Forum 2000 Foundation was founded in 1986, when Elie Wiesel and Václav Havel went for a walk during one of the conferences, and one of them said, wouldn't it be nice if we invited to Prague, you know, people from different walks of life, scientists and Nobel Peace Prize laureates and people from different walks of life, different religious denominations and so on, because it's the end of the century. And so let's take a stock of what happened to us, you know, in the last century, and what we should expect in the next century and in the next millennium. Eindhoven and them expected this, the conference would develop into a highly successful conference series. I mean, somehow got out of hand, and right now, despite Václav Havel's test, we are in the middle of preparations of the 16th anniversary from 2000 conference. And from 2000 survived thanks to a series of lucky accidents, breaks, miracles, and also determinations of people like myself and my team to keep it going. And gradually it became very popular in this country. It took 15 years, but at least it happened. That's one of those accidents and miracles that happened to me, one of the many in a series of accidents and miracles that happened to me since the autumn of 1989.
Now, of course, Václav Havel is sadly no longer with us. Do you think that the forum can continue without him?
I certainly think so, though, although I can't be 100% sure. Václav Havel is the author or father of quite a few initiatives. Some of these initiatives were one-shot events like conferences, seminars, and so on. But three of his initiatives stand out, and that is VISA 97, which together with Dagmar Havel, which focuses on humanitarian issues. Then there is this Václav Havel's library. And the third one with sort of international dimension is from 2000. So I suppose that if we want to do what we say we want to do, which is to cherish and take care of the legacy of Václav Havel, that's a very important part of the legacy, this free exchange of views and ideas on some very important issues facing the humankind in a civilized atmosphere on international scale. It doesn't really matter whether it's Prague or Budapest or wherever. So anyway, we would like to continue, and of course it depends on how successful we will be. It depends on many factors, and I'll try to stay realist, and I know that some sponsors when it comes to nitty-gritty can be very, very pragmatic and so on, but we don't know unless we try, and I think that we must try.
How hard did Václav Havel's death hit you personally? I see, for instance, in front of us there's a picture of Mr. Havel meeting the Dalai Lama a week before he died, and I know you organized that meeting.
I'm glad it worked out. Well, it hit me personally so much that I still can't talk about it.
Could I possibly ask you, what do you think Mr. Havel's legacy will be for the Czech Republic?
Well, I mean, his legacy will be very simple. After this mania of renaming streets and airports and building monuments blows over, his legacy will be his ideas and his philosophy, as you know, is extremely simple. It's life in truth, respect for human rights, support for emerging democracies, and this is basically it, you know. So it's easy to say, but as far as life in truth, for example, is not such an easy thing to practice. I don't know whether I'll be able to practice it.
The head of the Forum 2000 Foundation, Aldrich Czerny, was Ian Willoughby's guest in this week's One-on-One. You're listening to Radio Prague. It's time to brush up those Czech language skills now. It's the ABC of Czech, and this week we reach the letter L. The programme is presented by Pavel Horákova and Vladimír Tax.
Welcome to the ABC of Czech. I'm Pavla Horáková.
And I'm Vladimír Tax.
Today's episode is a very warm and romantic one. We have reached the letter L, which in our series can't mean anything else but love. Romantic love, motherly love, charity, all that is...
láska.
...in Czech.
Láska.
...is the noun, whereas to love is...
milovat.
If you fall in love, you are...
zamilovaný.
If you are a man, or...
zamilovaná.
If you are a woman. If you are head over heels in love, you are...
zamilovaný až po uši.
That is, up to your ears. Sometimes it happens that you fall in love at first sight. That is
láska na první pohled.
You go all misty-eyed and whisper to your sweetheart or
miláček.
I love you.
Miluji tě.
You may even write love letters.
Milostné dopisy.
To your lover. Lover in Czech is either
milenec.
That's a male lover or
milenka.
For a woman. If your chosen one isn't interested, your love remains platonic.
Platonická láska.
Or unrequited.
Neopětovaná láska.
Czechs too do all kinds of foolish things out of unhappy love.
Z nešťastné lásky.
Czechs say
láska je slepá.
Or love is blind. The saying
láska kvete v každém věku
means that love blossoms at every age. They also say
stará láska nerezaví.
Literally, old love doesn't go rusty. Or old flame doesn't burn out. About especially devoted couples, Czechs say their love is
láska až za hrob.
Or literally, love beyond the grave. We're almost out of time, but first we are going to play a
milostná píseň.
Or a love song called
láska nebeská.
Or heavenly love. Sit back and enjoy. And until next time, goodbye.
Naschledanou.
Ta láska nebeská.
Ta láska, láska nebeská.
Ach, ta láska nebeská. Je jak něžné pohlazení, které život štěstí změní.
Změní.
Ach, ta láska nebeská. Bez ní život
štěstí. Láska, yes, there must be something romantic about the letter L. It's the same in English, of course, love. And it's time for us to get out of here on Radio Prague. So from me, Peter Smith, and still next time, please take care.